Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Unscripted, where we ditch the script and we have some fun. I'm James Shipp, Michael McCaffrey, and we're joined today by a very special guest from the Bids team, Kai. What's up, Kai?
Hey, how's it going?
That was dope. The balloons popped.
It was not planned.
Yeah, that was cool. So,
well, we're celebrating the launch regardless. So I think it's in tune with the next couple.
That's perfect. Yeah, man. We're celebrating today. We got you on. Bids is launching this next week on Quorium. Super excited about that. So let's get started, man. For those who have been living under a rock, go ahead and maybe just tell people real quick what Bids is and let them know where you guys are coming from.
Yeah, for sure. Basically, Bits is a rebranded and million times improved version of OnXRP, which started on the XRP ledger. OnXRP was launched like back 2022, I believe, in the beginning, as a DAX, content hub, and an NFT marketplace. We were and still are the number one NFT marketplace on the XRP ledger, which is awesome. But the platform wasn't really up to the quality that we wanted it to be. So then we started talking with you guys back in at Coronova. I think it was like August a year. Yeah, just almost exactly a year ago, where we started ideating on how to also enable Quorium for on XRP. But obviously you don't want to launch on XRP on Quorium. That's a little bit weird. So that's when we thought like, hey, what can we do to really, you know, kick this over the line, especially when we're talking about a chain that, you know, really deserves its own brand, obviously, but also deserves something that has that enables the actual functions a good NFT marketplace needs to have, like, you know, collection offers and just being able to batch anything, basically, because on the XRP ledger, that's just, you know, buying an NFT is just way too slow. And that's something we could do in Quorium. And that's why we thought like, hey, let's rebrand to something up to the standard that we aim to be. And that's what Bits is.
Dope.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Well, so when we knew we were going to have you on the episode, I went and checked you out on X, which everybody should follow you at, Brad Punkhouse. But I noticed one of your posts that said that Bids was your proudest product to date. So why is this your proudest product? Maybe what were some of the other products that, and projects you've worked on in the past? And what makes this one so special?
Yeah, no, definitely. No, so we've developed quite a lot of software or products over the last couple of years. Like even before blockchain, I was launching this startup also for a marketplace. Not two, but still a marketplace. So I think this is like the fifth or maybe the sixth like marketplace that we launched. Like OnXRP had three versions that we had. We did something on Avalanche and now also on Quorium. So it's like the sixth marketplace that we did. And every time you see improvement, which is very fun. But this time we really, really focused on all the little details and, you know, testing every day. I think I'm testing like 2 hours a day myself as well, at least, especially these last couple of weeks. It's been way more than that. And just really focusing on every little detail, you know, like actually when something is delivered, apart from the functionality, which obviously needs to work, you just screen record and look at like what elements are loading in when and what time is something moving, and really frame for frame annoy the shit out of like our front end development team, because, you know, oh, Kai found something again. But this just we're really like pursuing this detail oriented, and I think like with the other ones we were just not as active in the NFT space as we needed to be to really deliver that standard. And that's what like we with OnXP we did really nail, like put the nail on the hat with the UX. I think we were very close, but the platform was just glitchy, especially now I'm used to Bits. It's like, yeah, what the fuck were we doing, you know? but yeah, like that I think that's just, you know, how it evolves. So you learn things, and yeah, definitely Bits is the proudest product to date. It's super smooth, it works very well, and I'm gonna say now it works very well next Monday when we launch, things are gonna break, you know, that's how things go, and I'll get clipped of this. That's fine. We work in tech, we know what we're up against.
That's how it is, man. You try your best, right? Like I always like to use the phrase like measure twice, cut once. You try to like measure as many times as you want and it's still going to be off by a little bit. Something's going to happen. But I know you guys have put a lot of work into it. It's really dope. I do.
Yeah, I just do my best for a living, dude. That's all.
Yeah, that's it. No, that's all you can do, man. And so I wanted to ask because in the office here and pretty much on the Corium Foundation side, I'm like the outsider a little bit. I'm the guy that's not really from the Web3 space originally. And so I'm kind of new to this whole marketplace, but I do interact with a lot of people, a lot of normies, right? But one of the things that that I hear a lot, like from friends and, you know, people will share stuff. It's like NFTs are dead. So what do you say to that? Are NFTs dead?
Yeah, totally, totally. I would not touch them at all.
It's like I've been working so hard on this company.
No. NFTs are not that. And I think, you know, the last meme coin bull run that we had, that we saw on Solana and even on Tron, of all things, I think that is a great indicator on why NFTs aren't dead. Because in essence, you know, NFTs are online communities and you use pictures to identify yourself within that community and towards other communities, you know? And it's the same with a meme coin. The only thing, difference with a meme coin is that you can just really, you know, it's more accessible because somebody with 10 bucks can buy into it as well. And can actually, you know, get rich, which you see happening on some of those meme coins. Right. But that's it, you know, at the end, people always will look for people. People always want to be in communities. Well, okay, 99% of the people want to, because at the end, you're looking for like-minded people that you can relate to, that you can spend time with and can engage. And that's what an NFT is. And that, just because of that, like obviously there's like a million different applications of NFTs and why NFTs are going to make it. But in essence, that's it, you know, like the current bull run has been extremely weird. But it's still, you know, you still see the same characteristics as in all the past bull runs, you know, there's always this need for joint community, you know, whether it's in Discord, in Telegram chats, no matter where you see. And I think that is just, you know, NFTs are in addition to just, you know, fungible tokens. And it's just following a cycle that happens with everything in blockchain, right? Like, so you've seen in the beginning of Bitcoin, it wasn't very interesting either. You know, you had sometimes something, it just went up. And I'm very confident that NFTs are still in its infancy. Regardless of that, you know, it already had a bull run. And of course, people are saying it's that. But, you know, you at the end, you only need like the top three collections to pump like 50%. And everybody starts becoming bullish again. Because at the end, you know, money drives markets in Web3. And that's all that's needed to have people turn bullish in again. And the foundation of people that, you know, believe in NFTs is large enough to really reach that critical user mass and, you know, make those network effects go parabolic as soon as something happens in the market.
Absolutely. Kai, it's really good to have you building on Corium. And I had a question too about the culture, you know, that you see that BIDS will bring, you know, to the space. You know, what kind of culture do you see, you know, even on XRP, BIDS, that, you know, has been kind of prominent within the ecosystem that you guys have been building out?
Yeah, it's, I think the culture that we're bringing, and I think that this is what NFTs are at large as well, is just a little bit more relaxed, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like, it's a gateway, it's an escape from reality, and that's what you see, you know? Also, in our in Telegram or in Discord, people are looking for a gateway to escape reality a bit, like why people are also gaming. And I think that culture, that center within an ecosystem, this center in an ecosystem that where people can mutually go into and, you know, engage. Like you could see it, I'm forgetting the word, but in the old, the Greek, you know, in old Athens, you had these squares where everybody always would come together. And then at the end of the day, everybody would go on, do their own thing. But it's Agora, I think it's called. Agora? No, doesn't matter. But it's the same thing within a blockchain ecosystem. You know, there's a couple elements that every chain, basically, that is looking to engage with the Web3 community and that gets culture needs. It's like a good NFT marketplace, a good DEX, and some tooling, you know, that where developers can easily touch into. And I think those two aspects are very important for the growth of that ecosystem, also for the growth of those communities, because at the end, you know, a blockchain doesn't have customers. It doesn't have clients. It doesn't have business relationship with the people that are buying the token. No, it's a community, right. And it's the community that engages with other people and that basically causes the network effects that causes growth. So how you're going to do that is you're going to make sure that it's fun, that the culture gets adhered, and that it's free for people to do whatever they want and not bound by some weird rules or codes of conducts that are extremely, battled down that and then one central authority telling you what to do, because all those things are going to, go against the culture. Mm-hmm. And internet culture is something that is very fragile, because at the end, everybody's fighting for attention, and you need to retain that attention. You shouldn't push it away, because if you do, then at the end, then people are not going to stay.
Well, yeah. And so that actually is a great point. Outside of the inherent just coolness factor, oh, I like this thing because it's interesting. Do you think that it's imperative? Do you have to have functionality to these NFTs of the future? Or can they still remain just JPEGs? What do you see as being maybe the way that the trends are moving towards more functionality or more reward-based NFTs? Or is it more just the community driving this internal?
And you're spearheading too, Eden game or Eden.com. Yeah. So I was going to bring that up, beyond just JPEGs, I think you're also spearheading another project.
That's a great question. And I think it all comes down to, the word freedom that I mentioned before, is that you want to be able to enable as much functionality as you can. Of course you have, you have the art aspect, right? The collectibles. I think, Bitcoin is doing that great with ordinals, I think if you're doing anything collectible, do it on ordinals, works great. But I do believe that NFTs goes way further than PFPs and than JPEGs, you say. it has much other implications as well, right? At the end, you want as much functionality as possible within an NFT. An NFT needs to be smart, the beautiful name that you guys added to it with Corian. Because freedom enables as many different oriented people to come into the ecosystem and pursue their own freedom. And I think that's how you create communities, right? You have leaders pursuing their freedom and other people that relate to that freedom and think hey, we can also touch into this. And I think that's, that's also the beauty of programmability, just being able to be free to do what you want.
100%. Especially when you're a builder, actually building in the ecosystem. A lot of people are probably the most outspoken who aren't builders, I'd say. A lot of people on social media, they have a very loud mouth about what they think is needed on, the mainnet or any blockchain. But I think we should really look towards the developers on what the needs are when it comes to, implementations, developments, upgrades. So yeah, I think programmability is key, especially if you're trying to do some very ambitious things in the space. And I think if you're trying to do something very ambitious, Corium is definitely the blockchain to do it on.
Yeah, so that actually brings me to this next point. Now, when it comes to programmability, smart contracts, smart capabilities, all that, I noticed as I was tooling through your X that there was, and I've seen all over social media, conversations about Ripple and hooks. Now, I don't know what that is. I was like, Ripple has hooks now. I don't know, are they talking about music hooks, So maybe you could just expound on that. I know you have an opinion on that. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, so there's been discussions. I think it was 2 days ago when Ripple's orientation or priorities changed into suddenly also wanting to enable programmability on the chain. It's a little bit of a political topic, sadly. But my opinion basically is, the XRP ledger definitely needs programmability if it wants to remain competitive to other chains. If we want XRP to stay relevant, then it should not be bound by restrictions laid onto its by one central authority. That's just not the way how blockchain works and why we are in blockchain, because in blockchain, the most beautiful word that everybody loves is decentralization, because at the end, that's what we're here to, again, have the freedom to do what we want, bound by rules we put on each other instead of getting put on top of, otherwise we just work for a boss if I want to be told what to do.
Yeah, I 100%
agree.
Makes
sense. It makes sense. I mean, I guess that kind of, so for bids, and I know like if this is a big topic, I'm not trying to talk trash about anybody, but from my understanding, right, the when it comes to like Corium versus the XRPL, there's some clear, obviously there's a large community at the on the XRPL and with Ripple, but in building on Corium, what are some of the benefits, I guess, between the two?
Well, as a starter, you two, of course. Those are two benefits that I can think of.
Thank you.
But they're so obvious, and I really don't understand that there's so many chains out there, especially like, you know, the XRPL, that doesn't get it. It's just like, okay, you want the freedom to be able to build, and you want to get support while you're building. And I think that's two things that you guys are doing well, because, you know, how Corium is built in regards from a builder's perspective, it offers it enables true programmability, of course, through Rust smart contracts. But it also is very accessible from an NFT standpoint, because you don't need to build your own NFT contract. You have those options within the NFT, which I think is very cool, that you can, you know, enable whitelisting, enable soulbound NFTs. But it's like, you know, on the X, I don't know how familiar you are with the XPL, but it's the same, like, you know, enabling it with flags. Yeah, it's similar, not the same, but I think, you know, if you're making it easier for builders to build, but you still give them the freedom to build whatever they want, that's like the sweet spot you want to be in as a builder. And I think that's very great on Corium, because it makes it very accessible for, you know, senior and junior devs.
That's awesome.
Corium's the best.
How do you foster, and Kai, how do you foster the community in a good way? How do you kind of, because I've been to one of your events, the XPunks events. It was a really amazing event, had a really good time, but give me some different things that you guys, different campaigns, initiatives that you guys have done for the ecosystem that you guys have built.
Yeah, there are a lot. there are definitely a lot, but from a in-person standpoint, I think, yeah, our events are the most outstanding ones. You know, our Punk House raves, they're always fun. One in Amsterdam, one in Lisbon, and one in Austin, Texas. I think you were at the Austin one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, no, that was sick with 9x9. No.
Because now we have token proof, and because now we have a Web3 integration that allows for token gating. So, you know, if you're ever trying to do another Punk House event, just reach out to us and we could help organize it.
Yeah.
Michael never stops working, man. You are a prolific BB.
No, I just want to go to another Punk House event. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
No, that was fun.
Yeah, no, like at the end, it's very important that you give people experience, not only online, but also offline, you know, mm-hmm. experience that they are not used to, that they wouldn't have if they weren't a community member. I think, you know, memories at the end, you know, that's what life is about in general. You want to create memories that, you know, when you're laying on your deathbed or whatever, that you're like, hey, thinking about things that you've done in the past, and you're mm-hmm. like, okay, yeah, this was fucking cool, right? And it's the same with us. We saw that there's, you know, we wanted to do these in-house, in-person activations, or however you want to say it, where people would actually meet with each other and not only look online to each other, but also go past the PFPs, basically, mm-hmm. you know, and connect on a more personal level. I think that's what those raves were all about. At the end, we also wanted to be something original and unique, and I think we managed to do that quite well. And I think that's what it's all about. Also for an NFT project like we have, is that we just want to create as many experiences for your holders that are memorable. And
because we're living in a digital age, you know, we're so used to being on our phones all day. You know, it's nice to go to an in-person event, meet people. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm sitting in this spot today, is because, you know, I put myself out there, and I tell people all the time, if you put yourself out there and just be yourself, you know, you can do anything in this world, you know. I mean, look where you're at. So,
definitely, there's this beautiful saying from from Alex Hormozi. I always forget how to pronounce mm-hmm. his last name, but it's never been easier to be successful in life, but it also has never been easier to do nothing.
Mm.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so
right?
true.
Yeah.
That's a heavy quote, because. And it's interesting too, because like on the podcast, we talk a lot about like Web 2.5, like this kind of transition of people from your standard, you know, just internet and, you know, streaming on, you know, TV, whatever, to this more integrated where the digital world and the real world kind of come together. And it's kind of one of those scary things where it's like, are we starting to move away from these communities offline? Are we starting, you know, you hear about it with the kids these days. I sound like an old guy. These kids these days, they're all on their social media constantly, you know? So like, it's really dope that you guys with Bids and with the X punks, like creating these offline experiences from these online communities and kind of bringing that full circle. It's really dope. So when it comes to that future, right, for Web3 and the culture, how do you kind of see that? How do you see the Web3 culture becoming part of the mainstream culture?
I honestly don't know. There's a different layers into Web3 culture, right? You have the basement dwelling incels there that I'm probably a part of, but you have the more orienting people that are looking into different aspects of the technology behind it, you know? So there's different layers to it. There's this, you know, you probably know how bad like crypto Twitter can get. And, you know, yeah, I don't know if you guys saw that like Near Protocol got hacked yesterday and then hack was like posting pictures of testosterone saying that people were getting too gay and that they needed some testosterone boosters or something like that. And it's like, that is like one part of the culture that I don't think will ever reach mainstream, right? Simply because at the moment mainstream is pretty woke, but on the other hand, it would be pretty hilarious. Elon says the most entertaining outcome will likely happen, so I don't know. I do love the more like I do love the vibe also during the bear market, you know, on crypto Twitter or X, like it was so different. And then there was this like a small increase of just more retail coming in, and obviously, you know, it was pumping our backs, which was awesome. But at the end, it did go against culture. You saw that change in narrative a little bit. People were getting more sweet and kind, but then again, everybody's leaving.
Right now, everyone's just demons.
It both has its charms. I kind of like it both. I think it will clash, but it's, yeah, at some point it will probably like intertwine more. But that I think that hardcore culture that you see, you know, in the trenches, that will probably fade into something new when this will fade more into a normie world.
And and your thoughts about celebrity meme coins, you know, I think that could probably be the closest tie to meshing mainstream and the Web3. I don't know if that's doing so well, to be honest. I mean, you see Jason Derulo.
This guy called Sahil that was just, yeah, you know, mass manipulating all these celebrities on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It was pretty clever how he did it, but yeah.
And you see Jason Derulo, you have Logan Paul. I don't think Jason Derulo has updated his community about his token.
No, I think, honestly, Iggy Azalea was the only one that I think that's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, Iggy did it really well.
I have a bag.
Yeah.
You got an Iggy coin bag.
I have a bag.
It was funny with Mutter. I thought it was hilarious. Her memes were on point, you know, her Twitter name was great. So, no, I think she did it really well. And the token is still kind of relevant, which is dope. But all the other ones are, like, kind of trash. Maybe I'm talking trash about a coin that I missed, could be. But I do like Mutter a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of where I'm, like, I'm drawn more to the NFT side of that world, because the meme coin thing, like, I dipped my toe in the meme coin water a little bit, and I was just like, I got rugged probably every time. Like, I'm like bridging, I'm like on Solana, I'm doing all this stuff. I do all these 12 steps, and then like the coin pumps and then just drops, like bang, bottoms out of it. So it just seemed like I'm not personally in those communities. I'm not on that Telegram chat where they're like, all right, everybody, now, you know, whatever. So,
yeah.
So it just,
yeah. If you're not in the trenches, you're gonna get burned. And like, I don't have time for the trenches, and I got burned a lot as well.
Yeah. So I can see where at least like, if at least my meme coin could be my profile picture, and I could show everybody I got rugged, like that'd be nice, you know. So that's where NFTs are. Like,
it's a badge of honor. Call it a badge of honor.
Badge of honor. Yeah. Kai, I know you got to get out of here at some point, man. And we really appreciate you taking time. I know, where are you based? Where are you right now?
I'm currently in the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands.
So
okay.
You'll probably see that my face is like darker than it was like 20 minutes ago because the sun is going down behind me.
Yeah, man. Well, I know it's probably getting late over there. We appreciate you for coming on, man.
Bids, yeah, I appreciate the invite.
Bids officially on the 9th, right?
So, on the 9th of September, yeah.
Let's go, man.
I don't know when this podcast is going to launch.
But yeah, we'll have some clips out around launch, and then we'll probably drop this after. So maybe officially.
Oh, after. Oh, great. Then I can just spill the beans now so that people, when they're looking, and they're like, fuck you. Because we're probably going to soft launch tomorrow night already.
Yeah, okay, dope. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. So Friday night, what is it? Friday the 6th of September, we'll soft launch in European evening time. Most likely, perhaps it will be Saturday, but so that we can just test the waters a little bit. And we already have users on the XPL side, so we're hoping that they can, you know, get those initial bugs out before we fully launch on Corium publicly. Obviously, there will be bugs, but I do think this way we can mitigate the risk as much as possible before a public launch.
That's awesome.
I know what you're doing, man. Yeah. You know, you've done this before.
It's the 6th marketplace.
This isn't your first rodeo.
I've seen a lot of buzz around Unix punks. What's the dynamic there, man? Because I'm curious because I want to get one, maybe 100, who knows? I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on there.
Yeah, Unix punks basically started as a free mint for XPunk holders that redeemed their XPunk token in the first 2 weeks of launch of XLS 20. This was to incentivize people to get rid of the IOU tokens. Mm-hmm. Well, ironically enough, it became a hype on Solana and Avalanche with the 404 standard. But yeah, that aside, that was like 2 years later. So for those that like minted, we gave them for every token redeemed, we gave them a free Unix punk. But it was on the XPL side, and that was a fun collection, and it did really well. I think it's like the seventh largest collection on the XPL. We didn't do anything for it in the first like year or so, and then we decided, okay, let's just do some fun shit around it, and we created this whole journey because we knew we were gonna launch on Corium, like just this arcade journey on like towards this next collection. We didn't really want to do like, okay, here's new art and here's money, and like, you know, we didn't want to do it like that. It's not how we do things. So we wanted to do something original. So it was this. So first you have your Unix bug, and then you have to basically, you had to lock an XPunk, and that will receive pixels. And then the second level was you had to feed those pixels to a Unix punk and add until you reach level 10, and you could send it on adventures or you could feed it. And both you had to spend pixels on. And then the third level was you needed to get two Unix punks and breed them together. And then out of that came an incubation card. And those incubation cards will be like 2-3 weeks after mint, will be able to be burned on the XRPL and then reminted as the new collection on Corium. And then in addition to that, we're gonna sell 1,000 of that new collection for 420 core on Corium as well. And 100% of those proceeds will go into a community DAO, in the community wallet, because yeah, there's no DAO infrastructure yet. We're gonna be, we're exploring it with Lunar Space, but they're not ready yet, so hopefully in the next couple of weeks. So we're gonna put it in a wallet very publicly, and then it's just gonna stay there until the community decides what they want to do with it. But yeah, 100% of the proceeds will go to the community. It's just a fun experiment to see what will happen when there is an actual, you know, CTO happening, because we saw with meme coins on Solana that most of those meme coins were successful because the community took over, community takeover CTO. So they just completely took over the Telegram, the Twitter accounts, you know, created everything from scratch and just really worked together to, you know, work for their backs. And that worked super well. So we thought, okay, what if we would try the same thing on Corium with the Uni V2 collection? You know, it's the art is really, really sick. Like Louis did a killer job with that. It's like he put a lot of love and time into that. So big shout out to him. And then all the proceeds, you know, will go into this community DAO. So it will be actually a community takeover that's funded with like 30 grand, which is, I think it's, you know, it's a fun experience to see what happens. And I don't think anyone has done it so far, like this.
This is awesome. I can connect with Henry from Lunar Space, and we can figure out the best option for a DAO. Because I do know,
in contact with Henry. Great guy.
For sure, yeah, and we could definitely figure out the best way of going about it. Because maybe there's a third party within the ecosystem that we could partner up with that could facilitate native DAOs on Corium. You know, for everybody that's building on the network.
Yeah. No, but to my understanding, it's like the scope that Lunar Space will do is exactly what we need. So you basically have a wallet and you have a voting mechanism based per NFT that you will.
Oh, that's really cool.
How we do it. I do think this is the way, by the way, for DAOs, is that you can actually know the people that spend more have more to say. And there's always been these discussions with DAOs that you should not be able to buy voting rights. And I'm like, dude, if you are putting in more money, then you have more to lose. So you should also have a bigger say. So yeah,
right.
People that, you know, buy more units, they get more, they get a higher, how do you say that, like power of
no,
voting.
It makes sense.
Yeah,
so
power of voting rights. That's, yeah, dude, that's so dope.
It's exciting.
I love the the whole journey of it too. The story that's from a branding standpoint.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
so
yeah,
dope.
Yeah, exactly.
Kai, are you feeling the pressure? Are you feeling the pressure at all?
No, not anymore. No, dude, this is, I'm 3 years in crypto, like working. I don't feel pressure
That's
anymore.
That's amazing.
At all. No. I think it's awesome. You know, like we've been with the same community for almost 3 years, and you know, they trust us fully. We have a great bond together. And now we launched this Telegram channel yesterday because we decided, okay, no more Discord for Unix. We're just gonna go full CTO meme coin style, just, you know, Telegram. Then we just get the DAO in order, we fund the DAO, and just we'll see what the community does. Like, maybe they're gonna waste 30 grand, could be. Well, it's still a fun story to see, right? Maybe they're gonna make it like turn it 30 grand and like 3 million. We don't know. Right. Like, it's up to the community. And I
For
think
sure.
That's fun. That's pure, true decentralization.
It's exciting.
That's
really
it,
exciting.
Well, dope. All right. Well, everybody watching, this is Kai, founder of Bids, and we thank you, man, for coming on Unscripted. Appreciate you for your time.
We'll have you on next time, too, anytime.
Yeah, yeah. Like, check them out. I mean, the AMA will already have happened, right? So you don't got to check them out on the AMA. Rewatch the AMA or hit them up directly. Ask some questions. Man, really appreciate you for coming on, and I'm going to go get me a uni.
I'm gonna get a trove of unis.
They launched Tuesday. Only 1,420 core.
Okay,
nice.
For the culture.
Nice.
I'm on it.
I'm excited. It's been an honor to have you
awesome.
On the podcast, Kai. And again, it's been a real honor to have you building on Corium as well.
Yeah.
Likewise, the honor and pleasure is all mine, guys. And I really appreciate the invite and of course all the support that you have for Bits and that also for unis. I really appreciate it. And I know our community does as well.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Take care.
Bro, that was good.
That was a great, great talk.
Dude,
it's really nice to have somebody with a real track record in the industry building on the ecosystem, because we've heard so many stories of different grant programs that you're going to have, you know, 50% of them be bust, you know,
right.
But it's just, it's good to know that he has a great track record. He's bringing a lot of value to the communities within the ecosystem, and it was a great discussion.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing too is, one, he's obviously super knowledgeable. He knows, like, not just knows the stuff, but he's built stuff. He's probably failed a bunch of times. He knows what he's doing from that perspective, his experience, and like, man, I told him the branding of that of the Unipunks thing, like, they really are thinking about all the different aspects. And. And he had great answers for all our questions. Like, I thought maybe we were going to stump him with something or something, dude. He's on top of it. That was really dope.
If passion and motivation can be in a person or be a person, that would be Kai.
Yeah,
really.
You can tell he loves what he's doing. He really believes in what he's doing. You know what's kind of crazy? And I should have said this to him. So, you know, I have a son on the way. My fiance, she's wants to name him Kai.
Wow, that's a coincidence.
So when we said that, he's like, "Yeah, call me Kai." I'm like, "Dude, what?
That's amazing,
crazy." So yeah, so it was a great talk. I mean, I'm super excited about these. Like, you know, I messed around with the meme coins. Now I think I'm gonna, I might try the NFTs. I think the NFT route, I feel a little bit better about. I think the community around it is a little bit cooler.
Yeah,
and. It's not so much about just like pump and dump and like, can I make some money? Which I feel like meme coins, you kind of lean towards that.
Definitely.
Smart NFTs on Corium. I mean, I think that's
going
to be awesome. Being able to have these different functionalities. And I'm really interested to see some of these use cases with NFTs when it comes to like how they want to, how different businesses and different communities decide to like add value to their product or their project using these smart NFTs.
I agree. And we talk to a lot of different businesses on a daily basis talking about this specific function in blockchain. And it's just good now that we have BIDS, we have an outlet for these different businesses, even project owners that can launch their own collection with utility. You know, there's one use case that we were thinking about with food vouchers. You know, I think tokenizing food, you know, whether it's a case of water or a bag of rice, that's a good way to get people into a good incentive for people to venture into this ecosystem because it is an advancement, you know, so I think we should be using it to its highest extent. And I think public goods it's a good way to showcase that this technology is a public good.
Yeah.
It's open sourced.
Yeah.
For
the most part, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I really liked what he was talking about when we were talking about, like, he's really bullish on decentralization, right? Decentralizing the spending of DAOs or, you know, making your community kind of open to everybody, but still it's still tight by the way of, like, if you know, you know. And I think that's the cool thing because I think I always notice in Web3 and when we've asked these questions in the past or we've talked about, like, this Web 2.5, the adoption into the mainstream, like, it's kind of counterintuitive because communities are a little bit based on, like, if you know, you know, you know, like an inside joke or something that's kind of smaller. It's not necessarily for the masses. So I love that, like, a company like BIDS exists where they're like an infrastructure for community building.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
So it can be for the masses, but you can create your smaller niche communities within.
Like you said, there's levels to it.
There's levels.
You know, there's
to
levels
the
to it. Absolutely.
Well, man,
cool.
Another great episode of Unscripted.
This is what, the fourth one? Fourth episode?
Episode 4, baby.
Nice, nice. Check us out at corium.com if you want to learn more about the blockchain we're building. We also have a layer 2 on the XRPL called Sologenic. Which will be facilitating the tokenization of stocks and ETFs. And we're very excited to have you on the next episode. For anyone on the next episode, if anyone's watching who would like to message us and see if they'd like to jump on the podcast, feel free.
Yeah, appreciate you. Coinholder X, a.k.a. Michael McCaffrey, James Shipp Jr., a.k.a. James Shipp Jr. We appreciate y'all for watching. Till next time, peace. Thank you.